Let's each pray to prepare before we learn. While I give you a moment of silence to pray, let me suggest that you tell God that you want to learn today and ask Him to help you get what He wants you to get from today. Jesus, I hope that each one of us wants to worship You. And God, we know from Your word that we don't just worship You with our words of singing, but that we worship You with our lives, specifically our lives of following You and obeying You. And so I pray that You would use today to help us to follow You in more obedience as we wait for You to come again and take us home. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we finished the book of Acts last week. Some of you weren't here because it was holiday weekend. You were traveling, but we did. And I want to recap the book of Acts, as I've been in the habit of doing over the past several books that we've preached through. But it's really hard to recap all that I've preached in Acts because we've been doing this since October. And so instead, I thought I would just read the whole book of Acts to you one more time. So open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Chapter 1. No, I'm just kidding. Couldn't possibly do that. I don't know if you were here 2 weeks ago, but we had three chapters and I just about passed out trying to read the text alone. So what I've decided to do to recap Acts is to hit the points that have been made through the book relating to us being witnesses of Jesus, because that's been one of the most common themes, if not the most common theme, throughout the book. And there was just a lot of neat points made, and I thought it would be neat to hear them all together. I did it in chronological order as they came through Acts, so I maybe could have regrouped it and put them topically, but I was led to just go chronologically. So it might seem a little bit choppy, but I think it's neat how it all comes together. The book of Acts started with Jesus saying to the Christians, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth." And I believe that prophetic commission of Jesus continues through us. That's how I finished last week, that it continues through us to all the places, to the end of the earth, and until the end of the earth. We are supposed to be Jesus's witnesses. The Lord will utilize His people to bring others to faith in Jesus. He'll use His willing people. Despite being uneducated and without religious training, Peter and John had the courage to publicly proclaim what they believed about Jesus. If you know Jesus and you know enough for you to be saved, then you know enough to tell others who Jesus is and how they can be saved. If you feel ill-trained or afraid of rejection, then you should pray to share Jesus with courage. When the early Christians prayed for that, to have courage, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says, as a result of that, they proclaimed Jesus with courage. You too can be filled with the Spirit to speak courageously and confidently about Jesus. We should share Jesus with people as we feel led by God. Despite whatever we think the results of it might be, we just need to share as we're led. The Lord gave Peter a vision of unclean creatures, and the Lord declared them no longer unclean. And then He immediately sent Peter to preach Jesus to the Gentiles. Peter understood the Lord's message to mean that we should not avoid any kind of person, that we need to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone. And the other Christians came to understand the same thing as Peter. As Christians, we know from the rest of the New Testament that our closest relationships are supposed to be with other Christians, not non-Christians. But we need to associate, we need to have relationships with non-Christians to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Here are some basics of the gospel of Christ that Peter shared with the Gentiles, which we can also share with people. Jesus' life on earth showed He was from God. Then Jesus died on a cross to provide the forgiveness for sins. Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus is alive still now, and he will judge all people in the future. But everyone who trusts Jesus can have forgiveness of sins and therefore not be judged to condemnation. Paul put himself in position where he could have conversations with non-Christians. And so I ask you, do you need to make more of an effort to put yourself in position where you can have conversation with non-Christians? In Thessalonica and Berea, it didn't say that Paul preached Jesus, but rather that he had reasoned conversation with non-Christians. We all can do that. We can have reasoned conversation about Jesus with people. Paul conversed about Jesus with the same people multiple times when they were willing to come back and keep having that conversation with them. As we engage in relationships with various people over time, see them again month after month, week after week, day after day, we can have conversations multiple times with the same people about Jesus. We don't have to just get it all done in one conversation. If it went well, then great, it's over. If it didn't go well, oh well, it's over. But over time, we keep engaging in relationship and sharing with people. Paul used different approaches to conversations with philosophers than he did previously with the Jews. See, the Holy Spirit can guide us in what approach we're supposed to use in what given situation with any given individual. Paul used various approaches, but one thing that was common is that he always brought it around to Jesus. Our approach may change from person to person, but we should try to make Jesus the focus of our spiritual conversations with non-Christians. You may have experienced this personally. I know I have. I know I've seen other people do it, where I've talked to a non-Christian, I turned the conversation spiritual, and I realized at the end of it that I didn't even talk about Jesus. I talked about some other crazy spiritual thing that they could have just as easily concluded I was a New Age person as that I was a Christian. We don't want to do that. We want to get Jesus in their mind. He's the one they need to know and trust if we can get around to talking about him. In Thessalonica, there were mixed responses to the gospel. Some came to faith in Jesus and some got angry about the message of Jesus. We need to be ready for either one, faith or anger. In Athens, there were three different responses. Some mocked, some were willing to hear again about Jesus, and some believed in Jesus. We need to be ready for various responses that people might have to Jesus. Here's why. Because we need to keep sharing him no matter what people's responses are. And so if we know ahead of time that people could have any number of responses, we go into it just saying, hey, I'm just the messenger. Their response is up to them and between them and God. And I need to keep doing it with them as long as I have opportunity. Or maybe if not with them, I need to keep going with other people and not be scared off of this. Paul shared Jesus with all sorts of people, Jews and pagans, philosophers and magicians. In each group, there were some people who came to faith in Jesus, and there were some people who rejected, or at least most of the time, there were people that had either one of those responses in each group. Over the course of history, people of all different worldviews and religions have opposed Jesus, and people of all different worldviews and religions have converted and trusted Jesus. So we shouldn't assume that there's a certain kind of person that, oh, they're surely going to oppose Jesus. And therefore, it intimidates us off of even sharing with them in the first place. We need to just share Jesus with people and see what their response is. We need to give them the chance because it's God's ordained plan for us to be part of that. That God is working on people's hearts. We're supposed to bring a message, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through us and to them. And so it is a lot of God's work, but he's also ordained it that us bringing the gospel is part of his work. You need to join him there. In Ephesus, Paul met some supposed disciples of Jesus, but he had to teach them to actually believe in Jesus. And all the follow-up events of what happened with them suggest that they actually really did believe in Jesus for the first time right then. So it's possible to know stuff about Jesus, to be favorable toward Jesus, and yet not have trusted Him as Lord and Savior. So what that means for us is we may need to share the gospel of Jesus with people who say they're a Christian. I think this is especially relevant in the United States because if I don't know what the exact numbers are of the recent polls, but every time I see a poll, it's like 70-80% of the United States say they're a Christian. Do you think that's the case? That 70-80% of people walking around that you run into every day trust Jesus? No. And so therefore, somebody may be calling themselves a Christian, and we need to discern, do I need to actually share the gospel with them? Do I need to actually share the truths that I know about Jesus with them? In Jerusalem, one of the ways that Paul shared Jesus is he gave his testimony of him coming to faith in Jesus and trusting and following Jesus. So be prepared to share your testimony with a non-Christian. What were you like before you came to trust Jesus? What made you realize that you needed to trust Jesus? And how did you actually start trusting Jesus? And even, what's your life like now? What are the things that you're trusting Jesus on now? And how's that impacting your life? Because those things about your story, there may be a touch point in their lives and their story that can bridge talking about their life and just having a daily conversation with them to us talking about Jesus. Paul said he was willing to suffer, even die, to testify about Jesus. But when he was in Jerusalem, on multiple occasions, he purposefully escaped suffering. So we concluded from that we need to be willing to suffer if it comes from us doing what the Lord wants us to do, including if the suffering comes from us testifying about Jesus. But we don't have to suffer if it's avoidable. Paul had been a strong witness in Jerusalem, according to Jesus himself, even though the way the record is, nobody believed. Jesus appeared to Paul and said that he'd been a strong witness there, even though the record was that nobody there had believed. And so this shows us that it's not our responsibility to make people believe. That's not what it means to be a good witness. Being faithful to share Jesus is what it means to be a good witness. Governor Felix called Paul for a private conversation. Paul used the opportunity to speak to Felix about faith in Jesus. The first time that Paul spoke to Felix about Jesus, Felix put Paul off. But Paul kept meeting with Felix and it seems kept speaking about Jesus with him. And so I want to say to you, don't give up on a person. If you have one conversation with somebody about Jesus and it doesn't go well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of it. If they're willing to continue to listen, then keep sharing Jesus with them as you have opportunity. As God seems to be opening that door, as that person seems to still be allowing you to have those conversations with them. King Agrippa also wanted to hear from Paul, and Paul used the opportunity again to turn the conversation to Jesus, specifically to hope of resurrection, which we have because of faith in the risen Jesus. See, we can turn everyday conversations to spiritual things. And ultimately, we want the spiritual conversation to lead to talking about Jesus. We shouldn't think that that's weird to turn a conversation like that. That's exactly what God wants us to do because every point of our lives is touched by Jesus. And so there should be a way in which, especially if God's opening the door, that any conversation could turn to Jesus. You know, just one example, it wasn't even me really turning the conversation. I was getting some therapy the other day, and I was sitting praying while my therapist was working on me, and I literally had nothing in my head to say to her about Jesus. Like, I didn't know where to start. I didn't know anything I was supposed to say. And so I'm having this conversation with God saying, hey, if you want me to say something, put something on my mind. I got nothing. You know, maybe I'm not supposed to say anything, but if I am, tell me. And the second I stopped praying, within 2 seconds, she goes, hey, I got a question for you. And she asked me this question that was like just the perfect opening to share the gospel for like the next 30 minutes. And I was kind of like laughing in my mind as you know, I'm starting to answer this question and just going, man, this is such a great opportunity. And so we shouldn't think that it's weird to turn a conversation to Jesus if God is leading in that situation. Paul stated that he prayed to God regularly that all who hear him would have faith in Christ. And so I want to encourage all of us, pray for those around you to trust Jesus. And as you encounter new people, add them to your list. Keep praying for those around you to trust Jesus and be ready to testify to them about Jesus so that they have a chance to trust him. And don't give up if the first person doesn't believe in just one conversation. Well, as I said last week, we should now have the essentials of what we need to testify about Jesus. So it's time to go. Go be his witnesses. It's time. It's time for you all to share. I prepped you for this last week. In the book of Acts, was there some piece of information or perspective that impacted your thinking and or your behavior? I want to ask you to come up and share with everyone.
So for me, the last couple of months, I feel like I've gone through a season of a lot of worry and insecurity, and which is a sin. And I think that through Acts, God has kind of been really showing his sovereignty and how he holds everything in his hands. And like that's something that song keeps on, he's got the whole world in his hands, like that song keeps on popping up in Discovery Zone. And but just like throughout Acts, like God tells Paul to, yeah, I'm going to send you to Rome. And then all of the events that he orchestrates, like, to make it happen, and just how in control God is, and how Paul so trusted that, he's on a ship that is, like, there. The storm is so bad that the crew doesn't even, they're panicking. Like, they experienced people like are like, we're gonna die, and Paul is like, no, God told me I'm going to Rome, so we're not dying. Like, just like how strong his trust was that God has him and knows what is next for him, and Paul didn't feel like he needed to control anything or by worry. He just trusted that God was going to take care of him.
So. One thing that keeps coming back to my mind after going through Acts is there are a couple places where Paul submits to authority, and maybe on things that he didn't agree with 100%. Like, maybe you could look at the Jerusalem Council when they encouraged people not to eat, to abstain from eating meat sacrificed to idols and things like that. And you know, later on he could write, you know, we know an idol is nothing in the world and it's strictly speaking not a big deal, but Paul was willing to go along with that because it promoted peaceful relationships in the church, basically. And then later on when he came back to Jerusalem and was willing to go along with the recommendation of the elders there to pay for these young men and their vow and to go along with that himself. He was free in Christ. He knew that he didn't need to do that, but the leaders recommended that. And we don't know a lot of what was going on underneath in that discussion, but he was willing to submit to that. And I think there's such a lesson for me as a member of our culture. I mean, I'm no great rebel or anything. You probably, none of you would describe me that way, but but we are so individually minded that we can tend to say, well, we're going to follow you until, yeah, we don't really agree with that. Now we're going to go our own way here. And just the importance of going along with our God-appointed leaders, not meaning that if they go astray that we don't call on that, but as far as long as they are leading us and shepherding, led by the Spirit, even if we don't agree with them, these disputable areas following them. So that's been a challenge to me. I've been struck just thinking in the last couple weeks how funny of a book Acts actually is. I mean, there's some good humor as you go through that. And it's not just there. I think it's there for a purpose. You think of situations like when Paul and his companions have been preaching in Ephesus, and the silversmiths get all up in arms, and they have this big mob scene there where they're all shouting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" There, and it's just this crazy mob here, and it says a bunch of the people didn't even know why they were there, and it's just a very foolish picture of people who are opposed to the message of the gospel, and you see it. Something later on, too, when Paul is arrested after he goes back to Jerusalem there, they drag him out of the temple and they're all up in arms there and they're throwing dirt and stuff up in the air. And you just, again, have this picture of a mob that is absolutely out of control and really kind of ridiculous looking in what they're doing, at least in my eye. And one other that came to mind right now is when after the shipwreck, when they're on the island and the snake crawls out of the bundle of wood, and the people are looking and think Paul is going to get bit and say, well, surely he's going to get justice now. And then he gets bit and he lives. And they say, oh, he's a god. Okay. Just changing that fast. I mean, just funny stuff from people who might be opposed to the gospel. And I'm just struck that I think we sometimes fear those who we might share the gospel with and think they're the ones with the smart answers. They're the ones who really have it all together. And really, they're the ones who are sadly living in foolishness. So that's a challenge to me, to be confident in the power of the Spirit in sharing that message with people.
What impressed me is this, the beginning of the church and the fact that we're still, you know, they reached the known world at that time and we're still in the same battle, the same outreach as they were. So I kind of felt, I don't know, just kind of one with them. I forget the...
Honestly, one of the reasons I have a hard time sharing Christ with people is that I really struggle with my overeating. And I know for the most part the church is like, oh, you're okay or whatever. But my analogy is that I feel like I'm drowning. And it's not okay to leave me drowning. that was, you know, if I'm sitting here struggling so much, I really don't feel like telling you about Christ because I'm struggling a lot. And so it's been 8 months almost, or on the first it was 8 months that I went ahead and decided to go back to Overeaters Anonymous. And I've known about it. I've participated when I was a lot younger. But I don't, there's things people say that just rub me really wrong. because they don't know Jesus, you know, and, somehow I felt like, I'm going to go there and, I'm supporting an organization that doesn't believe in Jesus or whatever, you know, but I'm kind of, through Acts, it kind of gave me a little bit of peace to go, oh, okay, well, I'm also putting myself in a place with non-Christians. And whenever I get to share my experience, strength, and hope, which is maybe a little bit of a testimony kind of thing, then, you know, maybe it'll ring in someone's ears and be a help to them, you know. And so I felt better doing that from just hearing that over and over again, to put myself in a place that I can be more, you know, to testify to people that don't know, never been around them.
I'm always amazed in the book of Acts how it goes through, and Paul starts as this real rebel against Christianity, and then he goes through and not only does he trust Jesus, but he just fully envelops himself into the mission of telling the story of Jesus to everybody. And he goes from place to place and incurs beatings and imprisonment and those kinds of things. And I think, where am I in that picture? How can I be that kind of a witness? And somehow during this particular study, the Lord spoke to me and said, you are like, and don't take this the wrong way, but you're like where Paul was imprisoned, and he had a very concise audience. Okay, well, I'm not imprisoned. I love what I do. Don't get me wrong. But my audience is very small because I stay at home and watch my grandkids. My point is that I've been much more in tune with what the Holy Spirit is telling me about these kids. They're my audience. They're still young and have not met Jesus the way I have. And it's very easy for me just to think that I'm just sitting idly doing a daycare. But that's not the point. These are my grandkids, and these are children of God. And I have seen those times when the Holy Spirit has touched me and said, you know, right now is the time that you could bring me up.
I think I got a lot out of Acts 13, where it's the ups and downs in ministry that we share with our hearts, and that's my goal, is that everybody comes to know Christ.
So I was thinking when Christian announced last week that he would like us to share what we've learned from Acts, and I thought, crud, I haven't really shared the gospel as a result of Acts. But I think mainly the reason for that is this series has really convicted me on how I'm not good at doing that, and I often try to, when I do it in ways that are not costly. So I do it as big, things on social media, but, you know, I rarely share the gospel with people with whom I'll jeopardize a relationship or something. And so it's been good to be challenged on that and to think about that more, because that's not where my heart should be, and I want to be better about that.
Well, I haven't been here for the entire series, but one thing God has confirmed in me is that there are no meetings by accident. I've told my kids for years, they'll say, that was lucky. I'm like, well, lucky? I don't know. No really such thing as luck. God has a plan and everything, but there's no meeting by accident. I think of Paul in the prison, not that I've spent a lot of time in prison, but Paul in the prison witnessing to the jailer. When I travel sometimes and before I get on a plane, I say, God, I'll just be honest. I just want to be left alone and sleep. But if you want me to talk to somebody, you know, put them by me and help me know what to say. And God has done that. Sometimes he lets me sleep. And sometimes someone's by me, and so they'll put on their headphones, and I'll know, well, I'm not supposed to talk to them. But a lot of times they'll want to talk, and I'll be able to try and open up those gospel accounts and talk a little bit about the Lord, sometimes hand out a tract, just something, you know. Not always as well as I should by any stretch. But I believe there's no accident who God brings us in touch with. That doesn't mean everybody's going to get saved, but I believe he does want us to be a witness to everyone we see in some way, even if it's just to pray for him.
Well, I had an awesome time studying Acts, and to piggyback on that, doing it both in church and men's Bible study was really awesome. And you know, the guys in Bible study probably heard me say this 100 times, but the whole book just blew my mind. I'm like, because right now we're like in a living extension of the book of Acts. It's still going on through the church. And one of the chapters that really impacted me was chapter 2 with the fellowship and how much of importance fellowship is. And it's a lot of things. It could be your life together group, Bible study, coming to church on Sunday, or just serving another Christian. So that has really impacted me. I think that's just awesome. And I'm clearing my schedule to fellowship more with all you guys.
One of the things that I've really been challenged with in Acts is God has been calling me to new levels of trusting him. I would be listening about what God was doing in Paul's life or in the lives of the early Christians, and I'm like, yes, I totally believe that. I trust that you're going to do that. You're going to save those people in my life. You're going to do those things. And then he goes, do you trust me with your kid's future? I'm like, well, no. No, I really, really want to hold on to that. Do you trust me with the craziness at your husband's office? Sorta. He's like, so let's get this straight. You're going to trust me to save those people from hell, but not to handle these things? Yeah. Which sounds really bad. And so he's been calling me to new levels of trusting him with things that I thought we had had handled. And apparently we had them handled at this level, and now he wants to handle them up here. But it's been exciting because it's just been proof after proof historically, and then hearing other people's, that he will continue to be faithful.
I think of Paul, and man, the life of that man changed, you know, just what God did through him. And he can do the same thing through me and anyone here. And the only difference is how much you let him work through you, how much you give yourself to the Spirit. So that's the only thing keeping God from using any of us, is how much we let the Holy Spirit work through us.
I think it was a perfect situation. We just went through a study of the Holy Spirit a few months ago. So Pastor Christian took us through from A to Z on the Holy Spirit. Since we had that good background on the Holy Spirit, and then we go through Acts, and the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And it just brought it all together. I just thought it was just a really good study and helped further my knowledge and experience with the Holy Spirit.
One of the things that I wanted to share in conclusion, I really struggled today with what to share, because as far as the theme goes, because I couldn't recover everything that we covered in Acts, but the Holy Spirit and his activity was another one of those things that was so big in Acts, and really was the thing from the very beginning that I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart. It wasn't the witnessing thing. It was. I felt like the Lord wanted to show all of us how critical the Holy Spirit is in our lives and in the life of the church. But one of the things that I saw in Acts that I didn't expect, that I didn't know beforehand, that I didn't expect to see there, was the church figuring things out. Because the early church is like a model for me, for running church. Like a lot of times when I'm thinking about what should we do here, how should we do this thing next, I think, what would the early church do? And so like the early church was kind of like heroes for me. And when I'm thinking about a person, you know, when you're asked that question, like, who would you sit down and have a conversation with if you could have anybody, live or dead? You know, my answer, of course, people usually rule out Jesus. So I say Paul, the Apostle Paul. I'd love to meet with that guy. And so as studying through Acts, I'm seeing how imperfect the early church was. You know, they've got theological things that they're trying to figure out, and they're getting wrong. You know, they're trying to figure out what to do in certain situations, and sometimes seemingly getting it wrong. Paul, you know, you idolize him, but there seems to be points in there where he kind of made mistakes and was struggling and things like that. But for the most part, you know, did really well following the Lord. But through all that, through the church trying to figure it out, and through Paul trying to figure it out, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is guiding the whole thing, teaching them and showing them the way. And so I think that continues with us, that we can't be what we're supposed to be as a church without being led by the Holy Spirit. And that connection back, you know, to what we studied of the Holy Spirit before we studied Acts, is that the Holy Spirit, is his job is to continue the ministry Jesus started. The Holy Spirit and us, we continue what Jesus started. And so the Holy Spirit is supposed to be manifesting the presence of Jesus. So we didn't like switch leaders from Jesus to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is still our leader, and he's doing it through the Spirit. And through us. We're a significant part of his plan now as well. And so it has to be both of those things. It has to be his church and the Holy Spirit working together for us to do what God wants us to do, together as a church, just even here, and then going out into the world. And so we're trying to figure it out still a lot of times, even though we have this written word now that they didn't have. It's still a really thin, you know, little thing, right? This New Testament that we have is still a really thin little thing. And so all the details of how we live that out, we're still kind of figuring it out day to day in our church and in the world and in our lives. And we have the Spirit to guide us in all the details so that we can figure it out. And so I hope we will draw more into the Spirit and be led by our Lord Jesus through the Spirit in our lives. And let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you for giving your church. I pray that we don't just think of this as, especially any longer, as a place to just attend. Church is a thing to go to or maybe not go to. But rather, God, we would think of your church as your people. You've given us, each of us, the church as a family, as people that would care for us and love us and accept us and help us to walk with you, and given each of us to all the others to do those things. And that you've given the church as like a mission base where we can all love you and share our common values as a starting place to go out into the world and bring the best news that's ever happened, that everybody can have their sins forgiven in you, Jesus. And so I pray that if there's anything left in us that misconstrues what the church is for, that would just go away, and that we would really see that the church is a gift to us, and that we as the church are a gift to the world. And therefore we would act like that. We would act like a gift to each other, and we would act like a gift to the world. That we would do that led by your Spirit. Absolutely critical that he manifests your presence to us and that he leads us in your ways. Pray that we would listen to you by listening to your Spirit. So I pray all this in your name, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Guider, and all those who agreed said, Amen.